Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So I'm sure you will have heard Paul O'Grady, the famous British entertainer and TV presenter. It was announced that he died unexpectedly but peacefully at the age of 67. His husband, Andre Portasio, announced his death and paid tribute to his friends and his family and his many fans. And listeners will remember his drag persona, Lily Savage, potty mouth, brash and tottering on a pair of high heels. Here's a clip of Lily being interviewed by Michael Parkinson.
Now tell us about this comeback. The reason for it was.
Comeback?
The comeback.
I hate that word. It's return. Return to the people out there in the dark who've never deserted me. Sorry about that, Michael. It was a bit of Norma Desmond slipped in. Well, I thought, you know, the excesses of show business got the better of me. You know, when you find yourself in a skip at 5 o'clock in the morning. One of the Bases he rollers on your back, or the mini. You know what I mean? You think, Lily, it's time to call it a day, love. So I went back up to Liverpool for a bit.
Right. And what did you do there?
Well, I work for a friend of mine who's got an agency. Big Rita, her agency is. And then there was all that business with Wayne Rooney. You know what I mean? And I thought.
I didn't know about that. Wayne Rooney?
It was me, Michael. It was me.
What's the rumour that there is about Mr O'Grady killing you off?
Don't talk to me about that four-eyed fruit. I've had enough of him. I never watched the Paul O'Grady show.
Yeah.
I'm a Richard and Judy girl.
Oh, yes. Are you? Oh.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'm not watching that shite with somebody with a chicken and a dog. I'm not in business. Richard and Judy, because you can have a bevy. Sorry. No, with the wine club. You know Judy can't wait till 6 o'clock to have a bevy. So, I sit there, Michael, 6 bottles of Blue Nun, I'm unconscious by 6:30.
Lily Savage, also known as Paul O'Grady, when we're talking about the cross-generational appeal. You know, we grew up listening to Lily, and then there's another generation. A friend of mine was saying her 9-year-old was really looking forward to seeing Paul playing in Annie in Dublin, which was due to be coming up in the coming months, and we heard news of his sad death at the very young age of 67. Now, after a difficult few COVID years, the travel industry here will be hoping for an Easter bounce that will see people jet off on package deals while others staycation in one of our own beauty spots here in Ireland. From St. Patrick's Day onwards, our tourism season, it gradually starts to build. But just how many overseas visitors are coming to the country over the Easter break, and how many of us then will head away, and where will we go to? Well, Adam Maguire, RTE business journalist, is with me here in the studio to break all of this down for us. Adam, good morning to you.
Hey,
thanks for being here. So the tourism season, I mentioned that from St. Patrick's Day onwards, that's the start. Is that the official start of it?
Yeah, I mean, they say St. Patrick's Day in terms of people coming to Ireland, certainly. We saw that 2 weeks ago, the numbers of people who would have, you know, filled hotel rooms and filled the streets during the St. Patrick's Day parades. But in terms of the Irish tourism season, when Irish people are looking to holiday, I think Easter is probably more likely to be the point at which we actually start making trips of our own. And you can see the importance of Easter in the travel market. You look at announcements from the likes of Ryanair, you know, they do quarterly announcements. And because Easter can sometimes fall at the in March or very early April, it can actually have effect on their business. So it can affect the amount of money they make in the first quarter of the year or the second quarter of the year. And they specifically will say, you know, per second quarter because of the timing of Easter this year or so on. So it does have a material impact on the industry.
So do we know how many of us use our Easter break to go away, to go abroad?
Well, I think the best way of measuring this is to look at stats we have from the Central Statistics Office for 2019 and earlier. Two reasons for that. Firstly, the tourism market hasn't fully yet recovered from COVID. Last year was somewhere in the region of 70 to 80%, depending on what part of the sector you're looking at. And the hope is this year will be a full recovery, but obviously too early to know that for sure. So the 2019 figures are the last, you know, full normal year, so to speak, of data available. But it's also the most detailed available because the CSO would previously have conducted surveys at airports and ports asking people, you know, where are you coming from? How long are you staying for? Getting really good information about people visiting. But they had to stop doing that during COVID for safety reasons. They haven't fully kicked those back in yet. So 2019 is kind of the gold standard and the most recent gold standard in terms of information. So if we look at the April 2019 data, we see that just over 745,000 people travelled overseas during that month. So Irish people going somewhere else. And that's a jump of close to 18% compared to March. And it's the kind of trend that you see repeated if you go back pretty much every year previous to that. Usually you have a steady number travelling from November through to March. In recent years, you're talking about 500,000 each month. Then it jumps in April. And then, of course, it continues to jump through the summer. The only exception to that was 2016, when the March figure was higher than the April figure. And that's the most recent year we have where Easter fell in March. So it shows that Easter definitely has an impact, on our travel.
How many people go away. So then if you look at that figure for travel out of Ireland every month, that goes up as we go into the summer, right?
Yeah, Easter really does kick off an uptick in the number of trips abroad, and then it continues to grow on. So 2019, again, roughly the same number went in travelled abroad in May as did in April. Then it jumps in June, and then it peaks in July and August. And we can see from separate CSO data that the reasons for people travelling shifts between March and April as well. So in the first 3 months of the year in 2019, 58% of all the trips overseas were for holidays. The rest were things like visiting relatives or business trips. In April and to June, that 3 month period, it jumps to 68% of trips for holidays. So you have more trips in that period, and more of them are for holiday reasons as well. It just kind of kicks up in the second quarter.
So coming back then to Easter and to April, do we know where people go?
A little bit harder to pin it down, but we do know that, you know, Britain is consistently a popular destination with Irish travellers, in part because we have a lot of family connections there. Easter might be a good time to go and catch up as well. But also, it's relatively cheap to travel, and it's a short trip as well. So it's practical to head over to England or Scotland or Wales for the weekend if you want to. So
yes,
we know that that's always a popular destination.
But then you have lots of people heading off, chasing the sun and hitting the beach at this time of the year as well.
Yeah, I'm told that sun holidays are extremely popular at this time of year. I was sent figures by travel agents Click and Go, and they showed that about half of all the bookings that they have for Easter are sun holidays. City breaks, then the next biggest, about a quarter of their bookings are city breaks. Old faithfuls like Lanzarote, the Algarve, Costa del Sol are the most popular sun destinations. And they pointed out that a lot of those areas are enjoying an early summer. Forecasts I looked at for Lanzarote this week, up to 28 degrees, plenty of sunshine as well. And Click and Go said that Easter bookings this year are up 40% compared to last year. So I suppose that reflects the broad recovery in the post-COVID travel market. But it does make me wonder if we're also seeing a shift in kind of broader travel habits of people who like a sun holiday, because we'll remember the heat wave we had in Europe last year, some popular destinations hitting the high 30s into the 40s even, which is very high, even if you like your warm weather. And because of climate change, the prediction is that's the new normal. It's not just an aberration. So people maybe are starting to look at Easter as a time when they can go abroad for a sun holiday, get what we would consider normal summer weather, and then maybe they'll do something domestic or in a cooler location when it's actually summertime.
Right. The irony of us chasing a temperate climate in planes that in part cause climate change.
Yeah, there is an issue there. Yeah.
City breaks then, Adam, what data do we have on where is popular at this time of the year?
Again, according to Click and Go, Prague is the most popular destination for a city trip, followed by Rome and Berlin. London and Edinburgh are actually a bit lower on the rankings, despite them being closer and in the case of London, much more connected in terms of flights. And connectivity is actually a really important one in this, because a lot of the airline's summer schedules kick in when the clocks change, which of course just happened there last week. So if you were travelling a week or more ago, a lot of destinations wouldn't have been available to you, or you would have had limited options and probably more expensive flights. But now the summer schedules have kicked into gear for most airlines. It means going into Easter, you have a bit more choice in terms of where you go. And some will even go as far as the US. About 10% of Click and Go's bookings are to the US. New York is the most popular city destination on the other side of the Atlantic. And interestingly, they say the vast majority of the bookings they have for Easter, about two thirds, were made after January. So many of these trips are relatively last minute
recently
decisions.
Booked, yeah.
I suppose maybe it reflects people holding off to see what their finances were like after, you know, winter and high energy prices and everything else. Maybe it also shows that, you know, summer holidays for many are kind of a given. They know they're doing that. But an Easter trip is an added bonus. So if they have the capacity, they make the booking at the last minute, or if a good deal is available. And if not, then they'll just wait till the summertime.
So then the people who decide to stay here and have a holiday at home, the staycations, have we a handle on the numbers?
Yeah, not really a strong handle, because, you know, even before COVID times, you wouldn't have been able to get that CSO kind of thing of having someone standing in one location, asking yes. everybody where they're going or coming from. At the same time, we do know from research by Folge Ireland, 82% of consumers here are planning a domestic trip in the year. That's back on pre-pandemic levels, so we're most of us are keen to travel locally, and we know from all CSO data that domestic travel picks up at this time of year as well. So the first 3 months of the year they tend to be quiet. April to June steps up, and then again we have that summer peak in July to September. Across April and June of 2019, there are almost 2.9 million domestic trips. On average, they were about 2.5 days long, so essentially a weekend away. Now, that is a 3 month period, so it's hard to pin all that on Easter, but definitely a factor. The Irish Tourism Industry Confederation says the domestic market is generally strong in Easter. People obviously making use of their children being off school. But they also see a step change in the number of overseas visitors that come to Ireland.
So how many of those do we see coming in here?
Yeah, we see somewhere in the region of 940,000 came in April of 2019. So that's up 19% on the March figures, 60% higher than February. So it's a huge jump in a 2 month period. And even when you take into account St. Patrick's Day, Britain alone in 2019 would have accounted for about 340,000 of those visitors, the rest of Europe being 365,000. Most of the remainder are coming from the US, around 185,000. The peak in American visitors comes later in the year, June to July, but April really does build on the St. Patrick's Day numbers in terms of the amount of people that are coming to the country.
And the people who are coming in, you know, all of those, almost a million of them in April, we expect.
Yeah.
They're all looking for different things, aren't they?
Yeah, and people in the industry will tell you that a different visitor will behave in a very different way in terms of what they're looking for. And it makes sense if you think about what you'd look for when you're going on a holiday yourself and what your habits will be depending on where you're going. So, you know, I mentioned how it's relatively easy for us to get to Britain because it's short and relatively cheap. It's the same in the other direction. So it's a good weekend kind of trip for someone coming from Britain. And that means, you know, they tend to get off the plane, maybe in Dublin airport, travel into the city centre, spend a night or two, and then they head back to the airport. And that's kind of their holiday. And they might even do that a couple of times a year or once every year. American visitors, though, are very different. They're obviously coming from much further away. It probably costs them a lot more to fly as well. And so they stay for longer to make good use of their time rather than just doing a short trip. And they also, during that time, they tend to travel around the country a bit more. So they'll come to Dublin, they'll fly into Dublin, they might spend a couple of days there. Then, you know, they go west and search the great-great-grandfather's family farm, and then they head off to find a landmark or the Wild Atlantic Way or whatever it might be. You know, it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime trip or once-in-a-decade trip that they might be making. So they really do make the most of it. And because of that, they're spending more money and they're also spending it outside of Dublin. So it's really good for all parts of the country when they're American visitors.
The Tourism Minister, Catherine Martin, has said in the past, that's the type of visitor we want here in Ireland. You want long stairs.
Staying here, doing all the experiences, spending money in every little town and village. And I said American visitors tend to stay a lot longer, whereas people from England and from even from the likes of Germany will do a weekend trip and they'll tend to stick to the cities instead.
Adam, thank you very much for crunching all of those numbers. Adam, our RTE business journalist. Coming up, we're going to hear from Dr. Mary Ryan on why it's probably your hormones. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.